we were doing the halachot of forgiveness for Yom Kippur. And there's a famous halacha, if someone sinned against his friend, and the guy passed away, before you could ask forgiveness. So the halacha says, you bring 10 people to the grave, and you say, I sinned to God, and I sinned to so-and-so, this is what I did. Obviously, if he owes him money, he has to pay. This is the concept we've mentioned previously, that when a person does something against his friend, there's a double sin. There's the sin that the Torah prohibits us from doing anything harmful to our fellow man, but there's also the sin towards God, because he transgressed the Torah. So it's not enough that you gain your friend's forgiveness, after that you have to gain God's forgiveness too. The custom is that we give a lot of tzedakah, we do extra good deeds during these 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. People get up in the middle of the night, people get up early in the morning to say slichot. We're trying to go the extra mile. We have to know that when it comes to tshuva, tshuva is about sins that involve action, but tshuva is also about other types of sin. A person has to think about his traits. If he's an angry person, if he's a hateful person, if he's a jealous person, if a person takes serious things lightly, if a person is... there are all kinds of human failings, and this is the time that a person has to think how he perfects his personality. And the truth is that these are much more difficult than the actions that we do. Because if you did one action, so you could fix that action. But if a person has a certain trait, that's much harder to change. But this is the time. And our sages teach us that the great divide between us and our Creator is our sins. Our sins are what get in the way. And when a person does tshuva, so then he's close. The Shekhinah is again connected with him. His prayers are answered. Even the mitzvahs he does are more accepted. And that brings us to the eve of Yom Kippur. There's a custom to do kaparot. You guys familiar with the custom? Some take a chicken and pass it around their head three times. My custom, and that's many people's custom, is that they take money and they say, this money should be my atonement. It should be instead of me, and this money will go to tzedakah. And I will be granted longevity. And we say it three times. And you should try to distribute the money to charity before Yom Kippur. Get the mitzvah in before Yom Kippur. So you should do kaparos early enough in the day that you could give the money to tzedakah. There's a mitzvah to eat and drink on the eve of Yom Kippur. So even though ordinarily on Friday we don't have big meals because you want to come into Shabbos with an appetite, this Friday, being that Shabbos is Yom Kippur, this Friday there's a mitzvah to eat, and every minute that you're eating and drinking, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. And it's prohibited to fast on Friday. Hashem gave us a mitzvah that we eat on Friday and fast on Shabbos. We eat on the eve of Yom Kippur. We fast on Yom Kippur. And firstly, that helps us that we fast better. And by the way, you should start drinking now. You can fill up your system now with liquids. Starting from now, you should be drinking a lot. And don't drink caffeinated drinks, because that's a diuretic that relieves the system of its liquids. You have to drink water, you have to drink caffeine-free tea, you got to drink, fill up the system with as many fluids as you can. The Torah gave us a mitzvah to eat, and Hashem says, you eat on the eve of Yom Kippur, and I will consider it as though you fasted 2 days. One day for your eating, and one day for your fasting. On the mincha, on that Friday afternoon, we try to daven mincha early, because you need time for the meal. And don't forget, sunset's very early now. Sunset's 5:30, right? So we come to shul at about 5:15. So you got to be in shul before that, about 10 to 5. All those who have a custom to wear a talis on Yom Kippur. We wear a kittel, we wear the white robe throughout the prayers of Yom Kippur. We say vidui in the mincha, in the early afternoon we daven mincha, and we say vidui, which is the confession that will repeat itself throughout our prayers of Yom Kippur. Being that we're about to have a big meal, sometimes a person after a big meal is incapable of going to shul. So we try to get a vidui in even before the meal. It's customary that a person pays his dues to the shul before Yom Kippur. because you promised the shul a donation, let's say on Rosh Hashanah or something else, so it's customary to pay up the dues before Yom Kippur, and then you come to ask God for what you want, it's good that you've paid up what you owe. We stop eating a few minutes before sunset. We have to be in shul before sunset. We put on the talis and say kol nidre before sunset. And there's a mitzvah, losif me'achol al hakodesh. There's a mitzvah to add to every day of holiness. Meaning, we don't take Shabbos in the last minute. We add. When you still see the bowl of the sun, you should accept Shabbos on yourself. We try to add to the Shabbos before sunset. Anyways, you can't know the exact second of sunset, so you have to add like 1 minute. But we try to add, in some places it's 18 minutes, in Jerusalem the custom is 40 minutes, and the same holds true with Yom Kippur, that we add to the day of Yom Kippur. We start fasting a few minutes earlier. You should eat food that's easy to digest. If a person walks into shul after having heavy steaks and who knows what, he's going to feel so full, he's not going to have good focus in his prayer. A person shouldn't eat too much dairy stuff because we want to be pure. A person doesn't want to have an emission that night, and dairy stuff can bring on an emission. There's a Sephardi custom that people would kiss their father and mother's hands on the eve of Yom Kippur before they go to shul. And the person should ask mechila. We ask forgiveness from anyone we might have offended. And this is a good opportunity for me to ask everyone present and all of our listeners. If I've offended anyone, I hope that people forgive me. I definitely forgive everyone. I don't know of anyone who offended me. But the custom is that we ask people before Yom Kippur for mechila. And we ask for forgiveness. And this is something which helps us all walk into Yom Kippur more clean. People very often have a hard time asking their parents for forgiveness or their spouse for forgiveness. It's good to get into the habit, or their in-laws for forgiveness. I'll tell you what, the first few times are harder. And then after a few times, it's still hard, but it gets easier. Now, there is a custom. Some people have a custom to light a candle on the eve of Yom Kippur and put it in the bedroom, and some do not. The idea is, some say, being that a couple is not allowed to be intimate when there's any source of light present in the room, if you leave a candle on in the room, so then they'll know, they'll be reminded that on the night of Yom Kippur, a couple cannot be intimate. That's one of the prohibitions of Yom Kippur. Others say you leave a candle on by candlelight, she'll look even more beautiful, then you're going to arouse the husband, don't do that. So that's why there are two customs. Some say leave a candle on in the bedroom, some say don't leave a candle on in the bedroom. Fine. We have to light candles in honor of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. I mean, we do. We have to light Shabbos candles. This year, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. And we light candles. Our custom is we light candles in honor of Yom Kippur, aside from the candle in the bedroom. In shul, we put on nice lights. We put on nice clothing. We set the table. Even though we're not going to eat, we put on a nice tablecloth, a Shabbos tablecloth. And some have the custom that they wear white clothing on Yom Kippur. This is, I think, a Sephardi custom, as Ashkenazim. The married ones wear a kittel, and the non-married ones, they wear a regular suit. And this brings us to the laws of Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, we don't do any work. This year it's on Shabbos, but even if it wasn't on Shabbos, all the things you wouldn't do on Shabbos, you don't do on Yom Kippur. Obviously, we don't eat or drink. We don't wash out our mouth in the morning. If you have a dry toothbrush and you want to clean out your mouth, you could clean it out. But you can't like rinse a toothbrush and then clean it out, because then you're sprinkling water in your mouth. So that's something you could do. You could take like a dry toothbrush and brush out your mouth if you want to. We don't wash ourselves. We don't take a shower on Yom Kippur. But if a person got dirty, for example, a person who had an emission during the night, now he's all sticky, so then a person can wipe himself off. And if necessary, he could also wash himself off a little bit, whatever is necessary. When we wash our hands during Yom Kippur, we wash up to the knuckle that's at the end of the finger, our knuckles. So you pour the water slowly and you pass your fingers into the water. We don't anoint ourselves unless it's a guy has lice or something that's necessary for medical reasons. We don't anoint ourselves. And we don't wear regular shoes. We can wear like slippers, anything that's not made of leather. If you have Crocs, you have even though they're comfortable, that's okay. And we said that we don't even touch our wives, just like a couple would separate them their beds and separate from their wives when they're prohibited. That's what we do on Yom Kippur. I'll be with you in 1 second. And there's a machloket. He says, Rav Chaim David Alevi says, it's permissible to smell besamim on Yom Kippur, and it's permissible to smell tabak. And for a lot of people, that's a big help, because that gives them koch on Yom Kippur. Yeah. If you do it every day, then you could wipe your eyes when your hands are still moist, because for you that's considered dirt. And some people rub their eyes every morning after they wash their hands. So then you dry your hands when they're still moist, you can rub your eyes clean. If you get your hands dirty, a person goes to the bathroom, so then he wants to wash his hands with soap. For us, that's considered filth. So fine. But again, we try to minimize. We minimize, but whatever is considered dirty for us, we're allowed to clean. It's a good idea if you're dealing with children to find a way to keep reminding yourself that it's Yom Kippur. You shouldn't suddenly take a bite of the apple you're feeding them. Usually that's not a problem, but sometimes it could be a problem. Sometimes you could get carried away and suddenly forget it's Yom Kippur. The Chazon Ish said that husband's responsibility is to help his wife with the kids. If without his help, she will not last the fast. So he can't say, well, my job is to be in shul and daven, and her job is to deal with the kids. If in the middle of dealing with the kids, she gets headaches, and then she gets sick and she has to eat, okay, no, so she has to eat. What do you want from me? I'm doing my job. I'm in shul davening. No, Chazon Ish said, no. It's a mutual responsibility as far as the kids go, and even if you have a situation where the wife doesn't have anyone to help her, you don't have a neighbor who could come by and help, you don't have a sister who could come and help, you don't have parents who could come and help, so then it's down to you too. So then if it's up to you and your wife, so then even if by your being there you're going to miss davening and shul, you have to be there and help your wife. I could tell you that there were years where my wife was bedridden on Yom Kippur. There were certain pregnancies where she wasn't allowed to get out of bed on Yom Kippur. So in order to facilitate her fasting, I went and davened nates, I davened vasikin. I don't even remember if I got in Musaf and Shul, and the rest of the day I was home. I didn't have any neighbors. I didn't have any relatives who could come and help. So I was home with the kids all day, Yom Kippur. I don't remember if I was able to get the kids to nap, but I'm pretty sure I remember davening Ne'ilah at home. Davening Mincha and Ne'ilah with the kids. You know, you change the diapers, you give them something to eat, you give them something to play with. And then you go and get a quick mincha and neilah. So it's not the ideal davening you dream about for Yom Kippur. But the biblical mitzvah of Yom Kippur is fasting. Davening, we all spend all day davening. But at the end of the day, that's not biblical. At the end of the day, it's what we'd like to do. We hope Hashem will give us a good year, even if we can't do our best davening. But at the end of the day, our responsibilities to our wife and our kids, those are there. And you can't ignore them. So I still remember standing by the wall of our house, davening mincha and ne'ilah. There was no one there to be with the kids. I was with the kids. Yeah.
How does this fit in with hearing the shofar?
Shofar on Yom Kippur is just a custom. You don't have a choice. It's not like, what's your alternative? You're going to leave the kids hanging, bring them all to shul and destroy the shul. I'm saying, what are you going to do? So what I did most years was I'd get up early, daven vasikin, finish davening by 10:30, 11, and then split with my wife. The 4 or 5 hours, I'd have a good 4 or 5 hour break. I'd need to nap during that break, because if I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go daven, then I would need a nap. But we'd split the hours. If when things were normal, I'm saying there were years that we did that. So then that's what I did. I always thought that they should make quick minyanim for young couples who have little kids and the wife needs the husband's help at home. I think there's room to consider making a quick minyan, because I wasn't the only one in that dilemma. So you don't have to do all the singing. You could, but there was no such minyan around and I wasn't able to put one together. So the only thing I could do is daven early in the morning, get up at 4.
3 hours until mincha.
Right. So I don't remember, but I think what I did was I davened mincha, and then I ran home to see how my wife was doing. And if she was up, I went back for ne'ilah.
During the Shad, the Shad,
I don't remember exactly when. When it made sense. You know, you got to be practical. Most people try to be where they have backup, meaning You try to be where you have a neighbor who can help. You try to be where you have your parents or her parents or her siblings. Or you try to have people there so people help one another. You know, usually you do have people to help. All my neighbors didn't know this Chazon Ish, so their wives were collapsing and cursing their husbands. Why aren't you here helping me? You see, Frankenthal's there helping his wife. Why aren't you guys helping? So one of my neighbors came to me after Yom Kippur and said to me, I don't get you. You missed davening to help your wife with the kids? So I didn't say anything. 3 days later, he came back to me and says, you know Rabbi Yashiv said to do what you did? Okay, fine, say that. I think that's what makes sense, even if he didn't say it. You know, it's both of our responsibility. The kids are my responsibility too. Well, what are you going to do? She's fasting too, and it's very hard. And especially if a woman's nursing or pregnant, then it's even harder. Okay.